on to our next presentation, Growing Healthy Lives, Enhancing Pediatric Healthy Eating and Physical Activity Counseling Among Healthcare Providers with Kevin Alvarado.
Good afternoon, and thank you for spending the remainder of your conference day with us here. I'd like to briefly share with you about a project that we are doing in Pennsylvania at a healthcare system there that we call Growing Healthy Lives. I'm going to give you a little bit of the background regarding that. As always, there are no financial relationships that exist here. WellSpan Health, who are we? We are an integrated healthcare delivery system located in South Central Pennsylvania. We consist of two acute care facilities, a level two trauma center, a wide variety of ancillary service sites, lab, imaging. We have our own medical group, which employs over 300 physicians, both primary care and specialty physicians. And we are currently in the process of putting together a rehab hospital, and we're also a third-party administrator providing those type of services to the community. We're located just a little bit above Baltimore, Maryland, and we serve about 400,000 people in the Adams and York County region and also in Northern Maryland. I'm the Director of Community Health Improvement, which is one of our strategic focus areas within WellSpan Health, is to really look at how do we change the environment in the community in which the residents live, work, and play. And in one of those areas, obviously, we looked at the issue of childhood overweight. And we all know, and Katie pointed out again, that childhood obesity or childhood overweight is a significant issue throughout the nation, and it's also an issue within Pennsylvania. Community health improvement has employed a four-pronged strategy, which we call our Growing Healthy strategy. We took some projects that we had before and really aligned them under the Growing Healthy brand to bring about more cohesiveness and to really show that there is consistency between the approach that we have. One of the strategies, or one of the components of the strategy, is Growing Healthy Communities, and that's looking at how do we make our communities better places to walk, looking at Safe Routes to Schools initiative, looking at how do we increase park utilization and other trail utilization, and looking at the frequency of fast foods and other restaurant establishment. Growing Healthy Tots looks at how do we change providers, early childhood providers, curriculum related to healthy eating and physical activity. Growing Healthy Lives, which I will briefly talk about here for the remainder of the time, and then Growing Healthy Kids, which is a school partnership program which we partner with 50 different schools in the two-county region to provide them with the tools and the resources to make healthy eating and physical activity behaviors a reality in their schools. Like I said, I'm going to focus on Growing Healthy Lives. Growing Healthy Lives was an initiative which we wanted to really educate the healthcare community. Like I said, we have our own medical group, which employs a large number of physicians from both communities, and we felt that that was really a great opportunity to educate them about BMI. Surprising, a lot of them may not have known about BMI, or they might not have utilized it on a regular basis as a tool. But then to actually provide them with the resources so they could start a conversation with not only the student or the child, but also with a parent about how can you eat healthier and be more physically active. Part of this was a response to what's called the Growth Screening Program mandate, which happened in Pennsylvania a few years back. And this was a mandate that essentially said that in all schools, K through 12 in Pennsylvania that receive federal lunch program dollars, that you would be required to assess the BMI of the child and send home to the parent a letter telling them whether that child was underweight, healthy weight, at risk of overweight, or overweight using CDC's classifications, and in turn recommend that that parent share that assessment or that identification with the physician. Great idea, except physicians were starting to raise up red flags and say, well, now all these people are coming to me with these forms or these assessments, and we don't have the resources to talk to them. We all know that providers have about 1 to 5 minutes generally to actually have a conversation. So, and there's a wide variety of topics that they need to talk to in that 1 to 5 minutes. So how can we make childhood overweight a priority? And how can we also provide some quick, simple, get in the hands resources so that they can start the dialogue and hopefully that the dialogue will continue in the future? So we launched a pilot project back in July of 2006. I do have some of the materials with me today that I'm going to talk about, but I was unable to bring a large quantity of them. So if you are interested in looking at them, please see me afterwards. The pilot project was 16 weeks in length. We looked at 5 different provider sites within our medical group, a few urban, a few rural, and a few quite rural locations, both pediatric practices and family medicine docs. And we looked at how do we provide or create materials that really are response-driven? So we actually use a stage of change model, and we ask parents, are you concerned about your child's weight? And based on their response, there is an algorithm that they follow, and a certain material would be handed out. In the original algorithm in the pilot, there was also another question that said, if you're concerned about your child's weight, are you willing to make a difference? And believe it or not, there were some people that said, yeah, I'm concerned, but I'm not really willing to make a difference at this point. So there was another piece of material that would go to that individual versus the one that was concerned and was also willing to make a difference. As I'll quickly point out, that created a little bit of confusion among the providers, and they started handing out a wide variety of materials because they really weren't sure what to hand out. So we kind of, based on this pilot, and I'll share that, we coalesced both of those materials down into one. And we had a three-tiered evaluation component, essentially looking at the classification of BMI, what materials were handed out, kind of the process measures. Were people really following the algorithm correctly? Our second component that we really wanted to look at was whether or not parents were utilizing the materials, and that was really a hard thing to get to, and we haven't solved that one yet. So we started to have to look at issues like readability. And does it make sense? And we used a unbiased group of people to walk through the materials and see whether they really created an understanding of the materials. And then the third part of that evaluation was also looking at what did providers think about it. In the pilot project, they're out there actually talking to parents. And were they able to engage the parents? Or if they were not able to, why was that so? Was it because maybe the parent was overweight or obese? Maybe it's because the provider themselves was overweight or obese and they didn't feel comfortable actually engaging in the dialogue. So we've tried to look at what those factors were, and I'm going to share a little bit about that with you. In that 16 weeks, we reached about 1,700 patients, as you can see there. And as you can see, the majority of them were a significant number of them were in the 85th percentile or above. So 27.8% there. Our state average is right around 35%, so in our small sample, we're assuming that that was pretty good sample that we looked at. Patients seen at rural locations tended to have higher BMI values. A very, very rural location that bused kids to school, that there were no sidewalks, there was a lot of cul-de-sac developments. We find that 58% of those individuals, the children that were reached in that practice, had very, very high BMIs. Whereas the urban practice within York City had a 33%, and we partially think that that's because of all children in York City are required to walk to school. There are no buses for the public school, the city school district. So they are walking well over a half a mile sometimes, if not even farther than that, to get to a local school. Over the period of time, 414 pieces of resources were distributed. We had three resources to begin with. One was a very quick down and dirty sheet about understanding pediatric BMI. What is BMI? What are the implications of having a high BMI? What chronic diseases could it cause in this child? Type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, sleep apnea, ortho problems, all those things that we already probably are aware of. And then points them to some community resources that are out there. Very, very basic, one-page, front and back. The second piece, which is the piece that we actually threw out, was a little bit building upon that. It gave them some tools and some other opportunities to engage in a discussion. And then we created a workbook, which is a much more comprehensive workbook. It's about 35, 36 pages. And it was based on the program or the initiative called Bright Futures, which came out quite a few years ago. And it looks at things like the food pyramid and the activity pyramid. It looks at goal setting. It looks at how do we identify barriers and overcome those barriers. And really is a piece that the child and the parent are utilizing together. And it became a workbook that they worked out together. Because these were built one on top of another, the same messages, when we did the evaluation, we learned that book two and book three were both being handed out by providers at the same time. Providers were saying, here, take this. In some cases, all three. We realized that a lot of materials were going to waste because they were built upon each other. And if all they had to do was give out book three, they would have covered book two and book one. So if that makes any sense, we ended up eliminating book two in the process. A very disheartening thing that came up was a finding was that 21% of the children identified with that at risk of overweight or overweight BMI were not offered any of these materials whatsoever. So that's a pretty decent population that really needed to hear the message and were not told the message for whatever reason. Again, did the provider not feel comfortable? Was the parent overweight? Was the parent, you know, a little testy that day or a little belligerent? Maybe it was because the child came in for another reason. Maybe it was for a well child visit and not an acute care visit, or maybe it was an acute care visit, not a well child visit. And we were not prescriptive during the training to tell them how to distribute the materials. We said, here they are, you determine how to do that. And so some of them used it primarily during the well child visits, but a couple of pediatricians wanted to use the opportunity with acute care. Another surprising fact, only 5.5% of people actually refused them, which we thought there would be many more that would say, I don't want to have that discussion right now. But only 5.5%. And we do have a significant Spanish-speaking population. We deal with migrant fruit farm employees in Adams County, so we found that a few of them were non-English-speaking. So what did the providers say? One of the things that the providers said, 80% of them said, we're always documenting BMI, which was good to find out, but there is that 20% that's still out there that for whatever reason was not documenting BMI. So we were providing trainings on how to do that and actually providing them with BMI wheels, and then actually providing them with the growth charts that CDC uses, the gender-specific growth charts. We did find, as most people know, that they were spending about 1 to 5 minutes with a parent or with a family member discussing these type of materials. Most of them were confident. 45 and 15% were either confident or moderately confident or very confident. And then we asked the question, when you were talking to the parents about these issues, first of all, what do the parents want? What additional resources could the parents use? 50% of the parents said none at all. Now, they could choose multiple choices here, so we could have well over 100%. But parents also said, well, I might take advantage of some services like nutrition services, et cetera, if they were covered by insurance. Whereas providers said, hey, we'd be more than willing to talk a little bit more if insurance covered these type of issues. And in many cases, it depends on the coding and how you code it. But also more individual counseling opportunities. And even though we're a large healthcare system that employs about 8,000 people, we're a very diverse healthcare system, and we don't have a lot of resources to actually offer counseling, and most of that is nutrition counseling. And as we know, the issue of childhood overweight also deals with behavioral health issues, and our behavioral health aspect is quite stacked up at this point as far as client load. So like I mentioned, we looked at the process algorithm, we redesigned that. We also revised the educational materials to ensure that they actually were made sense and they were actually utilizing some of the other tools that we had out there. We did create an anticipatory guidance sheet, which is a front and back laminated piece that is based at 4 different age levels. And what the individual or the provider does is they can walk them through nutrition and physical activity guidance, how to be a role model, eating your fruit and vegetable servings, the typical public health type of education that we provide, but on a very handy, easy-to-use piece for the provider to see. Then we also provided them with a pediatric overweight screening and tracking tool, which is essentially the algorithm. And like I said, we're not prescriptive. We don't tell them to check. We do ask them to check height, weight, calculate BMI, but we don't tell them to check lipid levels, don't check blood sugars. We let the provider do that themselves. We're just basically looking at the issue of are they willing to make a change and how can they move that forward. On the back of the pediatric overweight screening and tracking tool is a place where the provider can actually chart. Now, we're running into some issues with that because we're just going to an electronic health record throughout the system, and how do we take that charting mechanism and move it into an EHR and all the complications, as many of you might know, with working with EHRs, there's so many different places you could potentially put it. The parent gets still the understanding pediatric BMI sheet, which is the one pager that provides what the child's BMI is, what are the community resources out there, what are the implications. They have the Growing Healthy Lives guidebook, which is the nice color booklet that talks about the barriers, the goal setting, the nutrition, the physical activity counseling. It is age appropriate. Younger kids, we actually get them to walk like a duck, crawl like an alligator, do some really fun things. The older kids have to do some kind of matching and connecting the dots. We look at things like what a caloric intake. All of this stuff was a collaboration not only between our staff and community health improvement, but also among our nutrition and dietetic staff and some other providers. And then we took the anticipatory guidance sheet that we had given to providers and we broke them out into very easy to use rack cards, so that a parent could take home a rat card, which is a short piece, and actually put it on a refrigerator, put it in a book, use it in some other way that talks on one side about nutrition, the other side about physical activity, age appropriate. Here's briefly what the pediatric overweight screening and tracking tool looks like. You can see the algorithm, and on the right-hand side, that's the charting. This is what the Growing Healthy Lives book looks like, the two frames on the right. The frame on the left actually is the understanding pediatric BMI. I didn't obviously wasn't going to be able to provide everything for you, so I just pulled out some really quick things. We launched this system-wide July 2007 in association with Electronic Health Record. We've conducted trainings, lunch and learn trainings at 27 practices during that 1 year. I have a staff member that went out and did all of them. I give her kudos for doing that. We focused on family medicine and pediatric practice sites, but we also trained some of our dietetic staff. We trained some of our OBGYNs that work with young women. And as you can see there, we trained over 100 physicians, mid-level providers, and 300 other staff, anywhere from the front office staff to other clinicians. One of the things we found, as I mentioned before, parent evaluation is very challenging. On the front of this booklet, we have to ask them to opt in whether or not they would be willing to be called or contacted to participate. We wanted a sample of over 200, I think, at last check, and we've been doing this for 15 months now. We're only at about 140. So obviously, the recall of that material goes down over time, especially if they received it in July of 07. We translated everything into Spanish, and it was out and available in April. Now we're offering it to non-WellSpan entities. And one quick story here, and I'm going to wrap up. We learned that a student at one of our city schools took that booklet and went back to their PE teacher and said to the PE teacher, "My doc gave this to me, and I don't have a lot of time to work on this, and he didn't have a lot of time to work on it, so will you help me?" And fortunately, that PE teacher works with us on our other partnership program, so he was able to provide that. So now we're actually going out to PE teachers and school nurses, and we're creating that kind of closed loop where the PE teachers and the school nurses, and now we're looking at also community-based organizations like the YMs and the YWs, also have the access to the materials and understand the materials, so they too can counsel the patient. So the doc starts the conversation, but the conversation continues in the community. The same materials, the same strategies that we use, go slow, whoa concept, you know, the activity pyramid, we use in all of our growing healthy components, so it's not just in one. So if you're in the daycare center, you're going to hear go slow, whoa. If you're in our school-based program, you're going to hear go slow, whoa. That's basically it. Like I said, if you want to come up afterwards, feel free to do so. I'd be more than happy to share the information and show you the books. It's my co-author, Susan Snell. Like I said, kudos go to her for doing all the great work. That's my contact information. Thank you very much, and enjoy your time here in San Diego.
Thank you for the presentation. Ooh, nope.